Alright, good morning and welcome to Tech. This is Franz. Of course, I'm taking over from Chicken. One day in the weekend I'll tell you what club we are talking about. But of course, we are the pioneers. Everybody is a pioneer in this world. It's not only politicians that are pioneers. We are also pioneers in our own rights. But it's a good morning to you and welcome to Tech, and today we are going to talk about 13 ways in which you can adapt to technology, because, you know, it's very, very challenging in this world when change comes and we are resistant to it because of various reasons, you know, when vaccine came, when the masks came, we resisted the mask, we resisted the vaccine. Because number one is something that was new. Number two, the way it was presented maybe was not convincing enough, or it was scary, or whatever reason it is. So change is good, but the way change is presented, you know, the way change is administered can be problematic, you know, can be challenging to some people. You know, it can be challenging for people to accept change because of the way it is presented. Now we are going to look at how one can adapt to technology, you know, and it should be a bit by bit process. It must be something that is taken step by step. It's a step by step process where, you know, people are assured that people must be assured of the safety of, you know, change, of the safety and security in that change. So let's now look at adapting to technology and technological changes as a country or as a company or as employees. One of the things that need to be done is to take what they call a multi-pronged approach. So you take multiple range of trainings, or you implement, you know, a range of training or multi-training systems, you know, from written training, maybe face-to-face verbal instruction, or maybe short video, you know, a training to train people how to use certain softwares or how to operate certain, you know, machines that can work. You know, people are called like every day to say, okay, guys, lunchtime, I know that we give you an hour, but can you sacrifice at least 10 minutes of your time so that we can go into lecture one of our machine, how to use this machine or how to use these tools or softwares that we are going to have. So what I'm going to add to this here is to say, before we have this technology, before we even purchase it, we want to have technology. I mean, we want to have training sessions. Maybe our IT department will take us through some trainings. So this is the type of machines that we want to buy, or that we are buying, but we have ordered it and it is coming. So when it comes, this is how it works. So these are the tools that, you know, are working alongside it. It can be connected to A, B, C, D to perform, you know, A, B, C, D. And these are the, you know, we are taking you through the steps of its operation so that you know how to operate it. So every day, 10 minutes, we go through and, you know, the executive, everyone is in that meeting and you accommodate multiple, you know, multiple ways of learning. You accommodate different styles or working styles and preferences. You know, some people will prefer video. Some people will prefer face-to-face verbal instruction. Some people will prefer reading it. So people must be accommodated according to their level of learning. And executive must also lead by example. So executive must lead by example by showing the necessity of a technology in a company. So if the executives behind the back there, you are talking with employees, hey, that technology will not work. This boss is just wasting time. This what? So you are already demoralizing the people who are supposed to come and operating that, to come and be operating that machine. So you must also be part of the training to show an example, to lead by example. So don't talk behind the back there. And when the boss is there, you pretend as if you are, you know, working with him while you are talking the other things the other side. So it becomes difficult because then people don't know how to balance. You know, they become confused. So it must be a project for everyone. So it's a project for all. It's a change for everyone. We are sure that this technology is coming to work. And if you are in IT, you know, department with the person that is advising the boss to buy these machines or to acquire these products or to acquire these tools, you must have made sure that these tools are really coming to work so that they are not just coming to occupy office space and just become decoration and wasting time, you know, for everyone, for lectures which are not coming to be fruitful, should the machine be installed or should the softwares be installed or the tools be available. So it will make sure that technology works so that technology must work so that tomorrow when we introduce another new change, the employees and even executives are not going to say, it is these guys again. So, you know, it is these guys again with their machines that don't work, with their tools that don't work. So you make sure that is the right technology necessary for the change in the company. Number two, you need to create what they call a sandbox for employees. That's one good strategy to encourage them to be willing to learn new things. The sandbox is an appetite, just an appetite. We need to create an appetite for this technology or for this change, for this technological change. You need to create an appetite for it. What is it coming to do, which is not here? And the people need to know that they are, you know, people allowed to make mistakes. And they need to be secure, to be assured that their mistakes will not cost them their jobs. So you need to guarantee them that, okay, failure, you can do mistakes. You need to guarantee them that their failure and their mistakes will not cost them their jobs. Once they know that should they fail is a game down for them, or should they make mistake is a game down for them, they will not even want to try to be part of that, you know, training. They would rather, you know, they would rather stay away. So, but if we say, look, if you are making a mistake, make it louder so that we correct you, because through your mistake, somebody else will also learn, like what we do in music classes. In music classes, if you make a mistake, you make it louder. If you are hitting a wrong note, hit it louder so that you are corrected. Now, that gives a person guarantee that of gives a person, it guarantees a person safety, that their mistakes are not going to cost them their jobs. Then number three, you have to improve, you have to implement annual skills development or annual skills evaluation. To say, okay, let's now, after 20 days, after, 20 days after you got the tools, we see that you are improving. We actually see that you are, improving. Why don't you be a tutor to A and B? Why don't you take Mr. Soso and Mrs. Soso through the lessons? Because we see that you are getting there. So please take through your colleagues and deal with them. Teach them how to do it too. And this can help them, because they'll be motivated to say, wow, this guy just actually started later than all of us, but he has mastered this machine. So let me get close to him, or let me also, pull up my socks to, it motivates the rest of the team that are sluggish in learning, And for transformation to occur, it requires competence. It requires competence. For you to be transformed, you need to be competent. If you are not competent, you will not be transformed. So the employers will come and say, look, this guy is, this lady is good. With this machine, you are good at this. So why don't you take your colleagues through? So you are evaluated, and even at some point, given some sort of an appreciation of a token, maybe a lunch voucher, to say, we are giving a lunch voucher to Mr. So-and-so for mastering this technology, and at the same time for also being a tutor to others. Then we get into the process where we blend incentives with guidance. Where you have guidance principles or guidance strategies in place, you are guiding the employer and the employees how to use the tools and the technology. And then you also, incentivize a box of fish for vaccine. That was a good incentive. A box of, I don't know what, whether it was hake, for employees to get to go and be vaccinated. That was very good. So if it was made public to say certain employees who have performed, who are good stewards, who have taken care of the, the company trucks, drivers who have been driving the company trucks for 10 years, we are giving them a voucher of 10,000 in public. That is too good, for somebody. But now we are looking at it from a technology point of view, to say we are now adapting to technology. Maybe we are adapting to biometric system or any other app system or API application, programming interface system that we are, acquiring, and all employees, even cleaners, they know how to operate machines. They are learning. That can be incentivized too, to say, okay, you get a box of whatever for this. And you are guided to, and you say, okay, this is the tools for X, and these are the tools for Y. And this is how to merge X and Y so that you perform, Z. For you to perform Z, this is how you merge X and Y software or machines so that they work together. Because the world that we are heading into is a world of interconnectivity of much of you know, it's a world of device interconnectivity. And that is in simpler terms, but we call it the world of Internet of Things, where machines must be allowed to perform tasks in a very informed and professional manner with, of course, artificial intelligence. And nobody should be left behind. You know, people who were once cleaners can find themselves skilled enough in this area to be able to operate a certain machine, just somebody sitting the other end, you know, making sure that there is no software glitch, making sure that this machine performing the cashier job is doing exactly what a cashier is supposed to be doing. Then you need to share the why and how. For people to understand the reason why, for people to understand the adapting to technology, there must be why. So that why need to be explained. So you need to be able to explain why are we adapting to machines. Do you remember that we have had typewriters before we got computers? Of course, computers existed, but typewriters are, you know, the people who made computers, they took the idea from typewriters. The keyboard layout. And, you know, some of us who had the opportunity to learn typing with the typewriters, we did not struggle, you know, when computers came, because we understood the keyboard layout properly. We understood the laws of typing. You know, there is something they used to call the home rule in typing. How you position yourself to be able to, you have a correct finger on a correct key or correct button. So when the computer came, we could not struggle. A lot of people started from the scratch, learning the computer, learning the keyboard, but we just continued to learn other things because, it was boring for somebody to teach me the ASDF from the scratch, because I was already typing with a typewriter. Now, if you explain the why do we need this technology? Why do we need to adapt to this technology? Why do we need to change? Is because of A, B, C, D. Now, for example, if you put a computer and a typewriter together, and somebody has to ask you, why do we need a computer if we have a typewriter? For example, we have a typewriter. Some typewriters were even manuals. The typewriters were manuals. They were not electronic. They were not electric typewriters. They were manual. The problem with a manual typewriter is that the paper can be stuck in there. The keys can be stuck. You press a key and it falls in there. So, and you needed an electric typewriter so that you type faster. And, you know, but with a typewriter too, the electric one, you need to understand the margins. Because you don't just put a paper in a typewriter and you start typing. You need to understand the margins. You need to know that you have to set the typewriter to on 72 on the right and 72 on the left. So the margins should be equal from the left to right. So you set it at 72 margins on the left and 72 margins on the right. You understand that? It's complicated.
Vasco Sartutoze Pahami, Iriva International University of Management, IUM. Bamile Msakuri, Limorisa Zasirimo Sestatama, Sa 2023, Likualozui, Batutoze Pahami Zechualika, Education, Health and Social Sciences, Information and Communication Technology, Strategic Management and Leadership, Tourism, Hospitality and Events Management, Business Administration, Environmental Studies and Postgraduate Studies. Hamu bataguzi baritabakawafira kabutungi. Mukwaruleri kepela www.ium.edu.na. Kapa, mupotele lwefisi zeri vukawafi. Mamre nengi wa Windhoek, tolopo ya nkure nkuru. Ongwe ndiva, ni wa this day. Kapa, mulize ze nombo ye tatama. 061-433-6000. Hamzule piri, mkete hande, nikuzula piri niba IUM.
So you apart from the 72 margin on the left and 72 margins on the right, you also have to apply what is called accuracy. Speed and accuracy, that's what we were taught in grade 8 with the typing class. Now, the problem with accuracy on a typewriter is, the problem with a typewriter, even if it is an advanced electronic one, is that there is no delete. You know, there is no delete, that you can't delete. So that's when you need to be accurate. And accuracy is expensive. So that's when the why comes in to say, why do we need then to change from a typewriter to a computer? Because the computer has a capability of deleting. If you press G instead of D or vice versa, you have an option of deleting that letter and putting the correct one, which the typewriter doesn't have. So you always need to have a Tippex nearby you. And it also depends on how you apply the Tippex on the paper, because this paper is just going to be, you know, it's not going to be clean. So you need to, so now the why comes in to say, we are adapting to this technology because the features that comes with it, the abilities that it has, and so forth. So, and I'm giving an example of a typewriter, and I'm using the example of a typewriter and a computer. So with a computer, you type in, it's digital. So you have an option of deleting. You save in it. While it's with a typewriter, you have to have a physical paper in. And if you lose that paper, that's it. The information is gone. But with a computer, there are multiple chances that you can still retrieve your document even if a computer falls down and doesn't want to switch on. Just a matter of removing the hard drive and putting it into another computer, and there you are, you have your documents. So you have to be able to explain the why, the how. I mean, you have to be able to explain the how and the why. So how are we going to use this computer? How are we going to use this machine? It also needs to be explained. Now, the last thing I can give you, I have to make a comparison between a telephone and a phone. A telephone and a cell phone. You know, telephone is a fixed, you know, it's fixed, it's in one place. But a cell phone is mobile. You know, it's a mobile phone, you move with it. You can go to Hakahana, to wherever with your phone. But with a telephone, once you leave your house, that's it, you can use it. Now, the two things is, you know, why we need to change from a telephone to a mobile phone is because a mobile phone is portable and we can use it on the go. Simple. So the why needs to be explained to allow, you know, to allow employees to understand and be able to know that, no, the choice that the company is making is correct, because these machines that we are having now have this limitation and this challenge, and the machines that are coming or the softwares that are coming are having these capabilities and these features. Now, the reason why you need to update to, you know, Android 12, for example, or to iOS 15.6.1 is simple. It's because of security patches that are improved and other features that are not in the Android 11 or in the iOS, you know, 15.5, you know. So how do you do that? Just get to your phones and get to your settings and get to about, and you get into, you know, or you get into general, then you get to about, you check your phone if your system is up to date, and if not, you update it. And in this case, we actually advise you to put it on automatic so that it suggests you to you whenever new updates are available, so that you don't need to work hard in going up and down and be. And that's why some, you know, of our listeners complain to say, no, my Eagle FM app is not working. It's because the app, your phone is maybe not updated. And if your phone is not updated, up to date, you can't use the app, because the app is ever updated. So if the app is updated and your phone is not updated, it means that there is 1,000 kilometers between you and the app. So you can't use it, because you are very far from the new update. You need to get to the update. Right, it's 23 minutes to 12. And if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. We are talking about making it easy for people to accept change. So if you shout to people and threaten them to say, if you don't take this, we are going to do this, you are making life hard for yourself. You know, the reason why there was a lower intake of vaccine is not because people don't want. It's because of the threat that the government was making at the time. So if you make threats, if you threaten people, you demoralize them, you antagonize them, you kick them out of an opportunity to understand the why. So you need to explain the why, and you need to explain the why using multiple channels, because people have different levels of understanding, and people have a different level of pace of, you know, grasping the message. So you need to be patient enough. A change is not something that is, you know, addressed immediately. It's not something that should be enforced. It's something that should be encouraged. And we need to be ready to answer questions. We need to guarantee the people that there is no question that is going to cost you your job, for example, no question that is going to cost you anything. So every question is welcome, so that we answer it and we understand the level of understanding, and we also, you know the pace at which you understand things. Yes, Eagle FM.
Yes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So I'm happy if you are not going to be trained when that time comes.
Can you repeat that again?
I'm saying that I'm happy if you are not going to be retrained when that system comes, when that time comes.
Yeah, luckily enough, Uncle Bana, you'll be retired at that time.
Oh, I'll be retired. Thank God I'll be retired. But I believe those who are on the production level, like cleaners, like those institutional workers, you know, we call them hygienic, what, hygienic scientists or whatever they are called now. But those ones, they, maybe they also perhaps face some challenges. But what I wanted to say there, for us to be on the safe side, let all institutions, let all organizations, ministries and others adopt the learning organization and organizational learning. Those two concepts are very, very, very critical, especially in terms of digital computerization, computer system and all these other things. How do you call them again? Computerization and stimulation and all these other things. So people really need to be to be given that opportunity to learn. But it's actually those people on the ground, especially on the production level there. So the first level, second, and the third one. On the down one there. So those people, most of the time, are not exposed to the changing environment. So they are mostly left there. Even when it comes to workshops and things like that, many times they are not included. How do you then incapacitate them to move with the technological changes? So we must then transform those organizations, give the computer now, prepare them in their offices there, give them computer when they finish doing their work, they are there playing with the, you know, learning, giving them some kind of lessons to learn some of these technical basic things. Because many of them, they might have just seen it from school. Maybe it's not even from school, because some of these things are not in the school. So how are we going to cater for them? We must then first transform the organization so that they become learning organization, and then to keep updating their workers and everything on what is happening in the world. So that's what my contribution is.
Thank you very much, Uncle Bana.
Good.
Yes. Right, you can come through. And I'm just going to be stuck on number 5 here on the why, and then tomorrow we'll continue with the rest and then finish them. Answering the why question. Why do we need to change? Why do we need to change? Why do we need this machine? Why do we need this software? Why do we need this, you know, digital? You see, when companies in the early 2000s, when they started introducing internet, nobody resisted really internet at the time. I can't remember people resisting Wi-Fi. We all, you know, went in. You know, people started to use internet, you know. And why was easy to say, look, the world is becoming a global village and a lot of things are shifting to be online. So when we have Wi-Fi in a company, it will help us be more productive, because instead of sending a post, sending a letter, we send an email and somebody is able to reply. So if you send a letter to Britain or send a letter to USA, you know, you might imagine how long it is going to take for somebody to receive that and respond to you, and you receive it, respond back. So email became very important, that when you send an email now, it just, that few seconds, it is gone. And somebody is able to read it there, respond to you. You know? It was easy. So if that If somebody would say, okay, even the finance department, the procurement department will not be hesitant to sign a check to say, let's sign the contract with the internet service provider because we need internet. And that is going to cut cost in terms of how much you are paying the driver to go and drop letters where. Yeah, so a lot of companies started to have their website where they, have their information instead of getting, flyers printed and wasting money for ink and all that. So ink is reserved for very important documents. But other, conventional information can be accessed via the website. So that type of change is good and was good. And promptly or swiftly, a lot of companies adopted that change. Of course, there are companies where you go to their website and the last time they updated the website was December. Or they can even be 6 months, a month without anything new on the website. Yeah, but that's a pace at which people learn, which is acceptable and not acceptable at the same time. So, and a lot of change was, effected because people could answer the why. People could answer the why. And sometimes the why is answered in the mind. For example, the example that I gave earlier of a typewriter and the example that I gave earlier of a typewriter and a machine. I mean, a computer, a typewriter and a computer or a telephone and a phone, whether it is a katoshe or whatever. When you go to Hakahana, you go with it in your pocket. If somebody calls you, they're able to get you on the go. Unlike, with a telephone, telephone will be ringing and no one is at home to answer it. So even some companies, when they want, to deal with clients on the go, they give the cell phone numbers instead of telephone numbers because a cell phone number, it can be reached anywhere and somebody's able to answer it.
Hello?
Yes.
Good day. Is this Eagle FM?
Yes, it's Eagle FM. Good day, sir.
Good day, Matt.
Yeah.
Is this office of yours in Ondangwa, is it open?
Yes, it is open.
It's open, so I can come because I want to come in there to discuss something with you guys.
Yeah, please. Just go to the office in Ondangwa. They will be able to help you.
Assist me. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Do they also use this number or?
No. They don't.
They have another number.
Yeah, you call 081. Can you write it down?
Just a second. 081.
95.
Yes. 95.
000.
000.
90.
90.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm here in Ondangwa, private hospital, so I.
Yeah, but alternatively, just pop in there into the office.
Yes. All right. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Right. So, certain questions must be answered before change is effected. Why? And this is not only an employer that should answer this question. The IT department should be able to answer this question to the boss. Why do you think we need to update or to upgrade? Didn't you say 3 months ago that this is a good machine so far? So why why are we in a rush to upgrade? Why all of a sudden are we required to buy a new machine? Because sometimes somebody can just be excited because he's watching YouTube videos and say, this is a bigger machine, or maybe the way it looks attractive, but it may not really perform. It's not everything latest is, you know, not everything that is latest can perform. Not every technology is coming to, you know, and not every technology comes to solve the problem. So if the technology that you are having is working, why do you need to upgrade to a new one or to another one? If the gadgets that we are having are working, why do we need new gadgets? So that question, that why need to be answered across the board. Before it comes to be answered to, or for an ordinary employee to change, to accept the change, it should be answered across the board from the top layers of leadership as far as the company is concerned. So somebody need to answer the why from the IT department suggesting for an upgrade to say, why do we need to upgrade if what we have is working? You know, what do we need to change? What do we need to get a new system if the system that we have is working? Or do we upgrade because this system is old? But it being old, is it not working? Are we not profiting from it? Is it not productively working? Why is the rush to change to a new one? Or do we just get to the new things because they are new things?
Then I answer it wrongly, Bon. Because I was thinking that, yes, for the workers, for the productivity to go up and increase, for the workers not to remain behind with the changing environment, then they might also need to be provided with those kind of reorientation of classes and things like that.
No, you were right, Uncle Bon. I just went into another dimension.
Okay.
Yes, I just went into another dimension. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, so those questions need to be answered because sometimes people are just excited and they can advise the top management to acquire new stuff that are not really coming to be a difference in terms of them being a game changer in operation. So somebody need to answer this question. And most of the time when we ask this question, we want to say, no, this guy is mean. He doesn't just want to understand. Or he doesn't just want to spend the money. But the question is legitimate to say, why do we need to change? Why do we need to upgrade to this system when the system that we are having is working? So why do we need this one? And somebody must be able to convince the top management to say, no, the system that we are having is working, but in the long run, it is going to cost us because should it break down today, we no longer have spare parts in market available. So these type of systems are being discontinued. So for us to be safe, we need to acquire new ones and they are even cheaper. Because if a machine is discontinued, the spare parts become very rare to find. And that is costly because that will mean a standstill should there be any breakdown. And that can be a legitimate answer to convince management or the procurement department to sign the next check for the acquisition of new systems. For example, if you say, no, we need to buy the license, for example, of TeamViewer, because we are using TeamViewer to connect 10 computers in Katima, in wherever, so the free license cannot allow us to do that. So we need to purchase a license for us to do that. So us to be able to work properly, where we can connect more computers, continuously, we need to have a license. And then somebody will be able to acquire that license, you know, for you to be able to operate. So that can be justified. So the why answer, the why question becomes very critical, you know, in when it comes to the process of adapting to new change. When the why is not answered, when a why question is not answered, it becomes impossible for people to move forward. Or when it is not satisfactory, you know, when the why is answered but it is not satisfactory, you can't convince the people listening to you why do we need to change to a new system. Then, you know, or telling you, for example, you're coming to your father and say, no, Dad, I think I need a bicycle. You need to answer the why. You know, why do you need a bicycle if your school is a walk away to, if your school is a walk away from here? You need a bicycle for what? So you need to convince him. But if somebody is saying, no, my school is too far, I need a bike for me not to take taxi anymore because this thing is costing you a lot of money. At least if you buy for me a bicycle, I can go to school in Komasdal from Mochamise, from maybe 7 Delam. So your father will be convinced to say, okay, no, this is reasonable. Let me get him a bike. You know, let me get him a bicycle so that I save up with this $52 that I'm paying every day for taxi. So that's a why answer on spot. So, but when it cannot be satisfactory, that's why we see in many companies we are stuck. It's not because the bosses are mean, it's because we cannot answer the question. Why do we need to upgrade to the new system when the other system is working? Why do we need a new car if the car that we are having is running? You know, you have to give reasons that are valid for that money to be approved so that there can be an acquisition of a new car or acquisition of a new machine. If not, you are going to use that machine, my friend, until it breaks down. Because you can't answer a satisfactory question as to why you need a new one. So critically, is sometimes we say people are resistant to change, especially when it comes to technology. We say people are resistant to change. They don't want to change. They don't want to move with time, you know. They don't want to. But could it be because we are not answering the why question? You know, could it be because we are not answering the why question? You know, because it's not convincing enough for somebody to change. Because there is no question, the why is not answered. You know, when people were upgrading from keypad phones to touchscreen mobile smartphones, it was clear. It was clear. The why answer was answered already. Because number one, you have a memory card in your phone that can play music. Number two, you are able to access your Facebook. And of course, there were other phones like Symbians that could do that. But they were limited. So now with the Android, you had an unlimited digital space to yourself.
Being circumcised keeps it clean and reduces a man's risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's safe and it's free. Man up. Get the smart cut. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729 or visit us on Facebook at VMMC Namibia.
Right. Now, time has really not been kind to me. And this is a time when I have to say goodbye to you. We are going to meet again tomorrow when we continue with the number 6, the issue of adapting to technology. 13 ways one, you know, can adapt to technology. So till then, it's a goodbye from me. Stay tuned for the rest of the programs that are coming by on your number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Gusa etokoro lyouhunga. Lipoperanya moge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura mwe hundiro liyo wamba zuma ukoko, ndimo kwa nakoma pukuru kumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantantatu zime, tatu utantane, mbali nta mbali, mbali ntane. Ndingurako Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was...
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hefero momu nyovye tupe vape yuva. Monao po Global Parts tunova ungure ova puike odhonongo nova harupu okukuvatera tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes Benz, Audi, BMW nui natua weather ovitenda vyo Toyota wedhako o manao manene shimu na omaile no topra tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba ohunga novitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.